the Father's supply. Amen. Let us pray. Father, once again, we come thanking you for a beautiful day. Lord, a great opportunity that we have to come together to feast upon your precious word, Lord. Thanking you and praising you for this great day and age, the great visitation that we've had. Lord, as in every age, you visited your people. And Lord, in this day, you've come and revealed those great mysteries of the Bible, those things hidden, those prophecies awaiting, Lord, to be fulfilled right at the last. And Father, we're thankful to be a part of that, to see it, to manifest it, Lord, in all things. We ask you would bless each heart this morning. Bless Brother Goomba as he's away, Lord. Strengthen him, guide him as he prepares to travel again. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You can be seated. We do greet you in the name of the Lord. We're happy to be here. And good to see Adam. And we have a visitor with us. We welcome you in the name of the Lord. So glad to have each one. And now we hadn't heard anything from Brother Goomba today. And I'm wondering, is he traveling today? Tomorrow? Tomorrow he'll be traveling. Okay. I just heard that they're fighting again. And so we're praying he gets out of there with no problems. And sometimes the first thing they blow up is the airports. They stop travel, and so we want to see him to make it out safely, and trust that all has went well. And we just appreciate the Lord moving upon his heart to go there and to take the message, the word of God to the people. Amen. So now this morning, we'd like to pick up in this in a message. What's the name of this message? Sorry. I touched it and it went all the way to the end and I'm coming back. This day, this scripture is fulfilled. And we want to follow up where we left off on Wednesday. And I thought that I was going to get this on Wednesday and I didn't. So we're going to get it now. And we just thank the Lord for his blessings. And we want to say also we appreciate the work that Brother Michael and Brother Benjamin has been doing. They've been working on the wiring now, and so they're making some progress on that, and it's looking really good. And we're still looking for that day, amen. And it's coming little by little, and we thank God. And so now in this is part six now we're coming to here. And this is in the message, this day, this scripture is fulfilled. And paragraph 52, what a word. Think of it, see? This day is this scripture fulfilled before your eyes. Amen. Who said it? God said it.
Yes, sir.
That was God speaking through the man, Christ Jesus. And he was declaring, this day is this scripture. He just read to him out of Isaiah. He took one of the prophets of the Old Testament, he read it to them, and then he declared to them that this very moment is this scripture being fulfilled in your midst. Could you imagine what that felt like? Could you imagine the electricity in the air? To know that God himself was declaring the word of God, that this thing, who said it? God himself, who is the interpreter of his own word? You know, when God is speaking, and he spoke all the way through the scripture, he spoke through the prophets, he spoke through the different ones. But it reminds me when he spoke to Cain directly telling him, you just do what your brother has done and you'll be okay. It reminds me of him speaking to the children of Israel and telling them, he give them the Ten Commandments. After Moses broke them, then God spoke them to the people, and the people cried out, don't let God speak, let Moses speak. The fear of God was so much upon the people. When God was speaking, there was thundering and lightnings, and it just scared them so much in this weak fleshly body until they said, don't let God speak. And then God spoke, then God made a promise. God said, they've well spoken. He told Moses, he said, what they've said is how it's going to be. I'll not speak to the people no more, but I'll speak through a prophet. And he told them right there in Exodus, Deuteronomy 18, and told him, said he would raise up a prophet to speak to the people.
Yes, sir.
And so he said he wouldn't speak no more directly like he did there, like he did in those days. And so, but God is constantly spoken. It's just that he's veiled and the people don't recognize
Amen.
Who's talking,
That's right.
who's doing it. See? But that voice was heard now and then because it spoke on Mount Transfiguration. Said, this is my beloved son. It spoke, only some heard it, when the pillar of fire on the road to Damascus. And so different times, but God's way changed when the people cried out that they didn't want it that way.
Yes, sir.
And so he said again, this day is this scripture fulfilled. The Messiah himself standing in the presence of the congregation and reading a word out of the Bible pertaining to himself, and then saying, today this scripture is fulfilled.
Amen.
And they failed to see it.
Yes, sir.
That's the sad part. They were seeing the fulfillment of the Bible, and they didn't recognize what they were seeing.
Amen.
And even the disciples themselves, when they seen him go to Calvary, they didn't recognize what was happening.
Amen.
They thought everything failed. All of their excitement, all of their that they had built up of the glory and all that God was doing, and to know that the Messiah was here and to know that he was going to deliver Israel and to know all the things that he was going to do. And then to see him go to Calvary and be killed by the high priest and by the churches, the denominations of that day, to see him put to death, they fell apart. It destroyed their whole understanding of the Word of God. And that's what happens to people. They get built up on an idea until when something takes place, they lose confidence in God. God don't make no mistakes.
Amen.
God is right on time. What's happening, God's seen it before the foundation of the world, and he's going to use it for his glory and for his honor.
Yes,
and nothing's going to get out of order. And so when those disciples were on the road to Emmaus and Jesus got up beside them, once again he veiled himself so they didn't know who he was. And they said, we thought he was the one who would redeem Israel. We thought he was the one who would redeem Israel. And they seen it with their eyes.
Yes, sir.
And that's what these people are seeing it with their own eyes. They're hearing it with their own ears. The word of God being fulfilled in their midst.
Amen.
Being fulfilled. What about in this day?
That's right.
What has God done in this day that the scripture had promised? Because in every age it's been that way. The prophets have been speaking, and they could speak something, and it could one verse could be over here in an age, and then another verse could be over here in another age.
Yes,
and it keeps going like that. And so it doesn't, God proves his word by bringing it to pass.
Amen.
That's how he proves it.
Right.
So when he speaks a word, it's a word until he comes and quickens that word. And when he quickens that word, that means, quicken means made alive. And when it's made alive, then it's a manifestation. And then it's a manifestation of what God had in his mind for that day and that hour. And so, it's missed unless God opens your heart, your understanding to see the thing that's taking place. And they failed in that day. They failed. You think, and I know we've mentioned it so many times, but you just think about Moses bringing 2 million people out, delivered them from slavery, delivered them from the hand of Pharaoh with a stick.
Amen.
The greatest nation, the greatest army in the world, Moses goes down there with the stick and the power of God and delivers the children of Israel, brings them out, crosses the Red Sea, feeds them water, feeds them manna, feeds them all of these different things that he does, the supernatural. They were living in the supernatural every day.
That's right.
Every day they were living in the supernatural and they failed to recognize it.
Yes, sir.
They complained, they fussed, they everything. They rebelled in every kind of way. So much so that when it came down to Jesus' day and they said, they tried to identify with that, he said, they're everyone dead.
Yes, sir.
There was only two of the 2 million that came out that went into the promised land. That was Joshua and Caleb. Only two. The rest of them died. God raised up a new generation because they failed to recognize the presence of God. And Jesus was trying his best to get them to see the day and the hour. He was trying his best. He told them, he said, search the scripture. For in them you think you have eternal life. Search the scripture and see. They testify who I am. He said, you say you believe Moses. You say you believe Moses. I mean, Noah, you say you believe the prophets. And if you believe them, you would believe me.
Yes, sir.
Because every one of those prophets spoke of me being here today.
That's right.
And they spoke of this day. And the New Testament spoke of this day. Jesus spoke of this day.
Yes,
he spoke of this hour. He spoke of a bride that would be upon the earth in the last days. He did. He spoke of this time and this hour. And people are looking for something different than what he promised. And that's the reason why they get sidetracked. They take some man's idea of what they think it's going to be. When God is doing it every day.
Amen.
Every day. Look at the humility of Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
They expected something better. They expected something greater. They expected him just to snap his finger and destroy those Romans. To snap his finger and destroy the Philistines and every other nation, anybody else who even looked at them wrongly. They had become so arrogant. They had become so puffed up that they were the only ones. They were the only one. They were the great people of God, and they were the only ones of God, and everybody else was lost, and they were the chosen people. And it was all about them. Everything was about them. And then they couldn't even get along among themselves. So much so they divided up into so many denominations, Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes and Herodians and all the different things that they had there. And it is amazing. It's amazing. The Sadducees didn't even believe in the resurrection. They didn't even believe in it. They had a whole Bible. They had the whole Old Testament. Some of them didn't believe in angels. Some of them didn't believe in different things. It's amazing.
Amen.
That was after 4,000 years. And now here we've added another 2,000 years to it. And where are the people at?
Yes, sir.
Where are they at? Just as carnal and blind as they've ever been.
Amen.
Still taking man-made idea.
Yes, that's right.
This day is this scripture fulfilled. The Messiah himself standing in the presence of the congregation, reading a word out of the Bible pertaining to himself, and then saying, today this scripture is fulfilled. And they still failed to see it. What a tragedy that would be, see? But it's happened. And it's happened many times. See? How could it happen? Of course, like it did at other times, by believing man's interpretation of the word. That's what caused it. By taking man's idea. And we've got more ideas today than we've ever had. They had it there. They had it all the way through. But we have more today than ever. It's too easy today. It's too easy today just to break off, start another idea, start another church, start another denomination, and just keep going on. And it gets further and further and further. And they've done it to this message. And so every time God sends a prophet on the scene, he sends that prophet to get the people back to the Word of God. Excuse me, I'm sorry. To get them back to the presence of God.
Right.
To get them back to what God, where God wants them to be.
Amen.
Constant, that's it. Every time.
Amen.
When they declared that they didn't want God to speak, when God came right along and he continually testified to that. And he testified to that in the book of Amos, in chapter 3 and verse 7. And he said, surely the Lord God will do nothing until first he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets.
Amen.
That's the Bible. Amen. The Bible. After the Bible said God won't talk to him no more, God will only speak to a prophet. Where are our prophets today?
Yeah.
Where are they at today?
Yeah.
Huh? God always has one.
Yes,
always has one. And the people always reject it.
Amen.
Isaiah was a great major prophet in the Bible. What did they do to him? They sawed him. They took a saw and they sawed him asunder. What did they do to Christ? What did they do to Christ? They put him on the tree. They crucified him. Who? The unbelievers? No, the churches.
That's right.
The churches.
Yeah. Amen.
It's the same in every age.
Yes,
all through the Old Testament, they were killing the prophets. Why? Because they had an idea. They had an interpretation. It's never changed.
That's
it's
right.
Come all the way through, and it's right here today. It's the same today as it's ever been.
Amen.
And the judgment's falling, and the people don't even realize it. They don't even realize. Some do. Some do, but it takes God. It takes God to open our eyes, to open our understanding, and it comes by spiritual revelation.
Yes, sir.
So it's the problem is believing man's interpretation of the word. That's what caused it. See, those believers in them days, so-called believers, was taking the interpretation of what the priest had said about the scripture. They knew the scripture. They knew the scripture inside out, frontwards, backwards, they knew it. But they didn't have a revelation of it.
Amen.
So they took their intellectual idea of what it said. And they give that intellect, that idea, out to the people. And then that idea went and they adjusted it, they added to it, they took away from it, until we had so many different ideas, until it just was... It just was a big, Brother Branham said, chaos. It was just chaos. See, therefore, Jesus not belonging to any of their ranks or societies. Did he? Did he join the church?
No.
Did he join any of the churches?
No.
What was they doing? They were putting him out of the churches.
That's right, yeah.
That's the same thing they did to the prophet in this day.
Yeah.
They put him out of the churches.
Right.
Right. If not to criticize, but... If you want to preach in a Pentecostal church, you're going to have to go to a Pentecostal college.
Yes, sir.
And you're going to have to know their idea, know their doctrine. And so once you learn their doctrine, then they can accept you into their fold and then allow you to preach. If you're going to be a Baptist, then you're going to go to the Baptist college and you're going to learn the Baptist idea. And then you're going to only preach that idea. You can't preach anything different.
Yeah.
And because I told you, when we got married, and my wife was in a Baptist church, and we asked him, said, can you marry us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? And he already said it was no difference. He said there was no difference. And he said, no, I'll only marry you in the titles of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
That's Catholic.
Yeah.
That's the Baptist saying he won't do it. After he said it didn't matter, that it's the same thing. So you go from one to another, and it's all the same thing.
Yes,
so everyone, they're divided amongst themselves. They all have a different idea. They all have a different doctrine. They all have something different.
Yeah.
And you can't preach to them unless you come with their idea. I was working for a lawyer one time in Davison, and he was telling me that he come from a certain church, and now that he was working for the college there, that he had to learn he was studying their doctrine because they're Presbyterian, and he was something different. And so now he had to know, because they wanted him to be a deacon, and so now he had to know their doctrine so he could be a deacon in the church. And so I thought, I mean, which, yeah, you should. You should know the doctrine of your church. But it needs to be the revelation of God,
right,
and not man's idea.
Yes, sir.
And you don't go from one to another to another to another, and then you just, okay, I'm now at the Presbyterian Church, this is what I believe. Now I'm at the Pentecost, this is what I believe. No, it ought to all be based right here.
Yes, sir.
They ought to all be having the same thing, the same idea, the same belief, the same everything.
Amen.
Because it should be coming right from the Scripture. And therefore, they could not identify, see, with him. They could not identify him with them because he was different from them. Think about it. The person of Jesus Christ was so unique that no one should have missed seeing that he was the Son of God. He was so unique. He was so different. And his birth and everything about him, the way he came, everything was so unique that nobody should have missed seeing. And nobody should have missed seeing our prophet today.
Amen.
Nobody should have missed seeing that God sent a prophet on the scene today.
Right.
But what was their problem? He was too humble. He was poor.
Yeah.
He didn't have an education. But what he had, they didn't have.
Amen. That's right.
He had a gift of healing. He had a gift of discernment.
Yes, sir.
People could stand before him and he could reveal their thoughts. Just like those in the Bible. The same thing they did in the Bible, God sent that in this day. And it was rejected. He was put out of the churches because his doctrine wasn't their doctrine. His doctrine was based on the Bible, what the Bible said. And so they wanted the gift because they seen the people getting healed. They seen the dead raised to life. They seen blinded eyes opened. They seen skin created. They seen the supernatural over and over and over again. And they wanted that, but they didn't want his doctrine. And they tried to pay him into that. They tried to buy him into that. Said, Brother Branham, we'll give you a plane. We'll pay you so much money. We'll do this and this and this. And he said, and what do I have to do? He said, well, just some of your doctrine. You just need some of your doctrine. Just leave it off. And he said, you said I was a prophet. And now you're telling me to leave off what God has revealed? You see how carnal, how...
Yes. Yeah.
People, they're so caught up in this cosmos, this world, the idea of man today.
Yes,
it's all about money. It's all about education. It's about science. It's about these different things. I ran across that story again where Brother Branham was talking. Back when him and his wife did everything for the letters and everything. I think it might have been before Billy Paul was born or maybe when he was just a baby. But they had to do all the office work. They did everything. And they went to the post office every day with a laundry basket. And it was filled with mail. They would go every day, and it was filled with mail, and they would carry that back home, and they would go through those letters and reply to the people that were asking for prayer and different things. And some were asking for him to come preach. And in one day, they got the mail there, and there was a church, and this was in the 50s, in the 1950s. So you can imagine what $1,000 was in the 1950s. People made very, very little money. That is not like today. But even now, $1,000 a week. But they were offering him $1,000 a night in the 50s. And he said, you come for as long as you want. Said, do you want to preach 2 weeks? Said, we'll give you $1,000 a night. Every service. He said, our church alone brings in $800 every offering that we take, $800. And they were going to have all the people, everyone come in. And so, Brother Branham said, you know, he just looked at it. He opens up another letter, and there's a man, that was in Kansas. This man's from Arkansas. And he said, Brother Branham, God called me here to preach. And he said, I don't got no money. He said, I don't got nothing to offer you. He said, I couldn't even pay your hotel room. He said, but God knows that we need you. And he said, I don't have a church. He said, I preach under two pine trees. Two pine trees. And he said, but God knows that I need you. But I don't have anything to offer you. Where do you think that prophet went? He went there. He went there where there was no money. He said, I had to pay for my own hotel room. I had to pay my own expenses. He said, but now, he said, there's an established group of believers there.
Amen.
Praise be to God.
Yes,
it's a different way of thinking.
Yes, sir.
God's way is not man's way. Man's way is not God's way.
Amen.
We got to get away from our thinking.
Yeah.
We got to get away from this social idea of what's wrong. It's what's wrong with politics. It's what's wrong with churches. It's what's wrong with all of it. Amen. Is man putting his interpretation in there when God interprets his own word? Yes. Brother Branham said, God interprets his word by bringing it to pass.
Amen.
So when the prophet spoke and said, a virgin shall conceive, then that word was out there and men were thinking about it for 800 years.
Yes.
800 years, they were thinking, I think it's going to be like preachers. Every preacher had an idea. And even the people, they had their ideas. And so some of them made doctrines. That's what they did. They made doctrines. It's going to be in our church. It'll be one of our sisters. It's going to be like this and this and this. And so if it even comes up mentioned somewhere else, no way. It's going to be here. So if they say it's happened there, that can't be true because it's going to be in our group, in our church, in our denomination.
Mm-hmm.
So when it came, when that seed got quickened into the heart of that Virgin Mary,
yes,
then came the manifestation of what that prophet spoke.
Amen.
All that 800 years didn't matter. Now here was the interpretation. Here was the promise made manifest to the people. And that's what God is doing in every age. That's what he's doing today.
Amen.
That's why when we're looking at the fact that God sent a prophet, when we're looking at the fact that the scripture is revealed, when we're looking at the fact that all the Bible, all the book of Revelation, that has just been mysteries, that has been symbols and different things, that they haven't understood what it was, and they've come up with all different kinds of ideas. Now it's made known.
Amen.
Now it's revealed.
Amen.
And God's vindicated it.
Yes.
He's vindicated that it's true, that it's right.
Amen.
That the words, the interpretation is right because it's God doing the interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
No one should have missed Jesus Christ, see? Because he was the perfect identification of the scripture that was wrote of him. And that's the way any Christian is known. Now he's going to put you in the same boat. That's how any Christian is known, is that life that you're living.
Amen.
And when people see you, they should be seeing Christ. They should be seeing the living God in you,
yes,
made manifest. That's the way any Christian is known, when his life identifies the very things that the Christian is supposed to do. Huh?
Yes, sir.
That's what they're doing.
Right.
And then it's got to be for the day and the age that you live in.
Yeah.
It's got to be for the day. If you'd lived in Noah's day, you would have been working on the ark.
Yes.
Huh? You would have been building the ark. That's what you'd have done. Because that would have been that would have been the word of salvation for your age. That would have been the promise of God for your day.
Amen.
If you would have been in Jesus' day, you'd have believed him.
Yep.
You'd have walked with him. You'd have accepted him. Elijah's day.
Right.
Moses' day. Every one of those. You would have been living that word that they were talking about.
Amen.
But we're not preaching Noah's message today.
Right.
We're not preaching Moses' message today.
Amen.
God did something today. God brought a prophet on the scene today. Today he's done something.
Right.
Same message, this day the scriptures fulfilled, paragraph 56. Now, how could he stand there and say, this day, this scripture is fulfilled right before your eyes? How outstanding, how so plainly, and yet those people misunderstood. Why? It's because they took the interpretation of some order of priest that they were listening to. And history always repeats itself. And scripture has a compound meaning to it, see? And a compound revelation. The scripture, the Bible, has a compound meaning. You read a scripture, and it could be talking about something natural, and then it could be talking about something spiritual.
That's right.
It could be referring to one character in this age. 1,000 years later, it can be talking about another character in another day.
Yep.
That's the scripture. That's God, in his great wisdom, can hide. He can hide it from man.
That's right.
Yeah. See? For instance, like it says in the Bible, that out of Egypt I have called my son. You know, that's New Testament scripture there. And Old Testament scripture, referring to Jesus, run the margin on that, see? And you find out it also referred to Jacob. Referred to Jesus, referred to Jacob. Thousands of years apart. See? Same scripture. Jesus was his greater son. Jacob was his son that he called out of Egypt. which the Scofield reference and the other references give to it, see? Because that's the scripture it was referring to. So it had a double answer or a double meaning. It had an answer to Jacob called out, and it had an answer to Jesus called out.
Yes, sir.
And so is it today. So is it today. The scripture still has a compound meaning, compound revelation.
Amen.
See, it's because that we're in such a turmoil as we are, and the people fail to see the truth of God. It's because there's too many man-made interpretations of God's word. God don't need anybody, nobody, to interpret his word.
Amen.
He is his own interpreter.
That's right.
Who? God himself. He stood right there. He read the scripture in the temple, and he stood up and he told them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.
Yes, sir.
Here it is. Take note. He is his own interpreter. God said in the beginning, let there be light. And there was light. That doesn't need any interpretation. But that doesn't mean that it happened like that.
That's right.
It could have been 1,000 years. But God interpreted his word.
Amen.
He speaks his word, and then he interprets his word. It's two different things. See? The manifestation, it can be spoken, and it can go thousands and thousands of years before it's ever made manifest. But it never stops being the promise of God. It never stops being the word of God. Because the word of God, once it's spoken, it's going to happen. No matter what. Nothing can stop it. Nothing can stop it. See? And there was light. That doesn't need interpretation. He said a virgin shall conceive, and she did. And that doesn't need any interpretation. See? When God's interpretation of his word, when God's interpretation of his word is when he vindicates and proves it to be so. When is it? When he vindicates. What does vindicate? Manifest.
Amen.
It's when he manifests it. When it actually happens. That's the proof.
Yes, sir.
That's the proof. Now, you can say you're going to do something, and sometimes we do. We say we're going to do something, and we don't get around to it. But then, when you do it, now you've manifested what you were talking about.
Yes, sir.
See? The difference with God is God speaks it, and he knows exactly to the moment when it's going to happen. He doesn't go slack. He doesn't forget about it. It's going to happen. See? That's his interpretation. See? That's his interpretation by making it come to pass. That's where God's interpretation is when he makes his word come to pass, he is interpreting it to you. That's right. When he lets you see it. When he lets you see it.
Yes, sir.
Think about that. That's a special place to be in.
Amen.
Is when God is fulfilling his word and he lets you see it. Because even those disciples were seeing it and they didn't recognize what it was.
That's right.
And he had to take them later after Calvary. He took them aside and he explained to them exactly what was taking place.
Amen.
And where did he take them to? He took them in the scripture. He took him to the scripture. He took him in the Psalms. Where in the Psalms, David said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He took him right back to the prophecy that had now been fulfilled, and they had listened. They had saw it. They were a partaker in the manifestation of it. They were there to see it and to hear it.
Amen.
Wow. Where are we? Where are we? In this revelation, where are we? Are we recognizing it day by day? Are we recognizing his presence day by day? Are we recognizing that he's fulfilling it through the bride today? Through you?
Amen.
Paragraph 62. When God's interpretation of his word is when he vindicates and proves it to be so. That's his interpretation. By making it come to pass. That's where God's interpretation is when he makes his word come to pass, he's interpreting it to you. See, like if there had never been light, and he said, let there be light, there it was. That don't need anybody to interpret. See, but we get man-made systems mixed into it, and then you get out of line. See, it's always been that way. Always been that way. This is scriptural signs of the times. Paragraph 71. Then we find out in doing this, we find out what took place. Now, they said, I'm sorry. Now, they could not believe it. They said, this man is Beelzebub. He's a foul spirit. In other words, he's either got mental telepathy or he's a fortune teller of some sort. Anybody knows that that's the devil, see? And it's impersonation. And so we find out then that they condemned him. And then he was standing here, said, Master, show us a sign. See? And what did he turn to them? And he said, a wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. See? Now watch. A wicked and adulterous generation. He was prophesying. He was prophesying to them about a wicked and adulterous generation that's seeking a sign. He's speaking of this day. He was speaking of this day. Now watch. A wicked and adulterous generation. He was prophesying. He said, and they will receive it. In other words, I'm going to give them a sign. They're seeking a sign, and I'm going to give them a sign. See? And if that ain't the generation that we're living in, see? I'm sorry, I'm messing up here. All right. He said, remember, all prophecy has a compound meaning.
Amen.
That's right. And today they seek signs and wonders and they fail to see the presence of God. They see signs. They see wonders. They see the different things. But they don't recognize the presence of God. They don't recognize it. And that is one of the things that happened concerning the cloud. People, for all of these years, they seen the sign and they believed the sign. And then somewhere they got sidetracked from it.
Amen.
They got sidetracked from it because there wasn't something down on the inside to hold it. There wasn't something there. It wasn't a revelation. It was just they seen it, but they didn't recognize what it was. And the message, Invisible Union. This is a great message, and just taking a little bit of it here. Paragraph 303, God had to open those seven seals, not in a denomination.
Amen.
I've always been against it, but out of a denomination, out. Huh? He had to open those seven seals because that was a promise for the last days. That was the promise in the book of Revelation that these seven seals was going to be revealed. And that God was going to raise up a prophet in the last days. And all the mysteries of God would be made known. That's a promise for this day.
Yes.
Prophecy, promise for this day had to be fulfilled. And it has been fulfilled. Now it's made known and it's out there. And it's out there. It's among those, among the bride. It's among the churches. It's among the Bible colleges. It's out there. The revelation of the seven seals, the revelation of the seven church ages, those things are being used.
Yes, sir.
By many of those intellectual and nominal churches. It's being used because it's I don't like to use the word sense, but it's made more sense than all of their theology ever. So even the theologians are saying this makes more sense. And this goes all the way through the Bible.
Yes, sir.
This, you can take something in Revelations and take it through the New Testament and through the Old Testament and get it all the way back there in Genesis.
Yes, sir.
And watch it come all the way through. And they said, it's a powerful understanding. It's a powerful revelation. Even though they can't go all the way with it, many of them can't. Some of them do. But that's the difference. But he had to open those seven seals. See? Why? That he might take a bride. Now, how could the seven seals help him take a bride? What was the seven seals going to do to help get this bride? See? Because it's the word that calls her. It's been the word in every age that calls her. It's always the Word. And the Bible says, I think it's in Romans, that faith comes by hearing. So you got to hear it. So he's going to, you got to hear the Word. And then the revelation comes. When you hear it, then God can reveal it. And that's the way that it works. And that's the way God has always worked.
Yes,
so the messenger comes on the scene and he speaks. Now, in Noah's day, he spoke a word that had never been spoken before. And he prophesied of something that had never happened before.
Amen.
That's the part of it that people leave out, that they fail to get, is that it had never rained before. There had never been water come from the sky.
Right.
But from Genesis until that day, the earth watered itself from a dew or from the water coming up, the dew coming up from the ground. And so that's how the earth was watered. And so it had never rained. So, but now it's going to rain. God has revealed it. And he's revealed it to a man named Noah according to Amos 3:7.
Yes.
According to Amos 3:7, God's not going to do anything. He's not going to destroy the earth till first he reveals it. So he gets Noah. Noah preaches it 120 years. He's building the ark. And only 8 people, only his family. Nobody else, can't get nobody else to come in the ark. And all of the earth is destroyed. And everyone on the earth is destroyed. Except 8 people. Now, isn't that so? You think that it would shake people's conscience. That it would shake people's thinking. That it's not going to be a big crowd. That it's not going to be a big church.
Amen.
That it's going to be what it's always been. It's going to be a few believers here and there. It's always been a little group. It's always going to be a little group.
That's right.
God's never been in the big masses. He's never been in the big churches. No. They take their ideas and they take him out. So he's got to reveal the seals because he's got to get this bride. He's going to call her out by the word, by the revelation. He's calling her out. See? So he sends the word for him to hear. And they hear the word and they see the manifestation of the word. Same thing Jesus said. He said, if you can't believe me, believe the works. Believe what you see happening. Because that testifies that what I'm telling you is absolutely the truth. And that's what your life does. Your life testifies
yes.
that what you're saying is the truth.
That's right.
Because you're a manifestation of what you're talking about.
Yes.
You're not just saying words. You are actually living it. Remember Brother Branham saying that when a gift comes on the earth, that if it's the same old idea, it's the same doctrine, it's the same old thing that they've been teaching all along, he said, you know that's not God.
That's right.
No, when God sends a gift on the earth, when God sends a prophet on the earth, it's going to be a new message.
Yes.
He's going to go in there and he's going to bring something out of that Bible that hadn't been quickened yet.
Amen.
He's going to bring something out of that Bible that hasn't been revealed yet.
Right.
That's what every prophet does. He reveals something hidden in there and he speaks things to come. He speaks more things, but he's also revealing what's already in there.
Amen.
Every prophet, that's how it works. That's God's pattern. See? So it has to be something new. It's always been something new. In every age, God's doing something new. Always adding. And even in the church ages, God was, the people of each age was learning something they didn't know. But through the dark ages, Satan was distorting. He was distorting the revelation that was given by Paul the prophet. So from Pentecost, that revelation, and Paul prophesied and said, now there's going to be a falling away before he comes again. So that has to take place. And so these people through these Middle Ages and through the Dark Ages, they were living that. They were living that falling away. And so their revelation, what they were getting was very little. And some of it was not even correct. But what God knew where the seed was. God knew where the elect was.
Amen.
And he was getting every one of the elect, regardless of if all of the doctrine was 100%, and it wasn't, because of the falling away, because of the prophecy. So they couldn't have all of it. So what they had, they believed it. And so they're the ones that didn't become a part of the Church of England and the Church of Rome and these other churches. But the word was being fulfilled all the time. And God was revealing himself all the time. But it was in such a lesser way, a lesser manner. So it had to come back. It had to come back to what they had at Pentecost first. So after the falling away, after all of that has been fulfilled, and then it began to be a resurrection, began to be restored, it came back again to what they had at Pentecost. Amen. And then there was a promise. There was a promise that there was going to be something in the Bible, in the scriptures, that had not been known from the foundation of the world. That there was something laying in there that man had not laid eyes on, man had not corrupted, man had not put his interpretation in. There was something in there that God put in there that he's going to reveal it. Amen. And make it known to the people.
That's right.
Praise be to God. See, back to the quote, but out of a denomination. It's not going to, these seals are not going to be revealed in a denomination, but out of a denomination that he might take a bride. See, not a denominational bride. See, he couldn't do it. It's against his own word. He opened those seven mysteries in there. In where? In those seals. In those seals. And remember, we were talking about a compound meaning, a compound revelation. And also, we reminded you of he's speaking to two groups of people.
Yes, sir.
God is always speaking to two groups of people. And so, he's speaking to the elect and he's speaking to the church.
Amen.
And so, one of them gets the revelation. One of them stays with the church's idea. So you excuse me just one minute. So now, these seals, each seal was a mystery. Each seal was a symbol. Those first four seals, each one was a horse rider. And each horse was a different color. So every one of those was a mystery that was being revealed. So then it comes from there. It goes to the fifth seal. The fifth seal was the souls under the altar. The sixth seal was the tribulation period. The seventh seal, the only thing it says about the seventh seal was there was silence in heaven for the space of half an hour. And that's all. That's all that was made known there. It was all in symbols. And but yet, the interesting part of it was, it had already happened. It had been happening for the last 2,000 years. All of those things, those horse riders, everything, they came right through those dark ages, came right through that resurrection, and was coming right up now to the last church age, the finishing of the last church ages. Then he's revealing the tribulation. He's revealing the souls under the altar. He's revealing now the seventh seal. And so in those things, so every one of them, when even Brother Branham, he thought that those horse riders, he thought that first horse rider was God. And we find he found out when it was revealed that it was the Antichrist. So there is one part of the revelation. That's one stage of it, or one phase of it. And so I'm going to say that's for the ages. That's for the church ages. So, and that's for the church. And even that has come over into the church nominal now. Much of the revelation of the seven seals and the seven church ages has come into the churches, the nominal churches today.
Yes, sir.
I'm not telling you to listen to them, but every once in a while, sometimes just even if you thumbing channels or something, you might run across one and you'll hear him saying things that was not known until the prophet come. And so it's there. It's there, and they know it. So that mystery is being revealed. The I'm going to say the letter of it, if I can say it like that. I don't have the right words to say what I'm trying to say. But the seven seals, each one had a mystery. But I'm trying to separate those seven mysteries in there, right? Because sometimes when you separate that, it's like, this is not a mystery. This was a mystery. Those seven seals was a mystery. All of the symbols was revealed. Those horse riders was revealed. Those things were all made known. Those souls under the altar. Brother Branham said he thought it was the early church. And so many things that it began to open up that was not known before. It was not known till the seals was opened up. But there was still, besides the mystery of each one of those seals, there were seven mysteries in there. And those seven mysteries were the seven thunders. Those were the seven thunders, and they were specifically in the seventh seal.
Yes, sir.
They weren't in the first six seals. They were in the seventh seal. The seventh seal, there were seven thunders were spoken. And so that's Revelations 10, 1 through 4, 1 through 7, read it. And it shows you there that mighty angel comes, and he speaks those seven thunder mysteries. So those mysteries are the mysteries hidden from the foundation of the world.
Yes,
these six seal mysteries, these are the things that were happening in the church ages. There's a difference. These have been happening all along, and these had never been looked upon. These had never been known. So that's the point. But there was many things. The whole book was revealed. Who the whore was, who the Antichrist was, who the harlot daughters were, who those seven stars were, who the seven church ages was. That, think about that angel that was talking to John. All of those things were being made known. And they were being made known right there at the end of the seventh church age. The seventh church age. It was there. So the seventh seal was a half hour of silence. But that seventh seal is twofold. It has a compound revelation because the first revelation that came forth was that it's his coming. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
So even people who say that the seventh seal is not opened, they will tell you that the seventh seal is his coming.
Right.
So they're testifying because you couldn't get that from a half hour of silence. You couldn't read that and say the seventh seal is a half hour silence and then say that means it's coming. That had to be revealed.
Yes, sir.
So that's what was happening. That was being revealed to them. That was being revealed to the church. That was being revealed to the people. But then those seven thunder mysteries is going to be his coming. And that revelation is not going to be known to the public. This over here, the symbols are made known. Those are out there for the public. They can have them. They can do whatever they want, and they do. They'll add to them. They'll take away. Some will maybe take them just like they are, whatever they do with it. But the seventh seal, they don't know when he comes. That's the revelation. That's the revelation. That's the difference. The seven thunders is the same thing. They get the letter of it. They get the symbol of it. And many times I've heard people say, what is the seven thunders? And then the people say, that's the voice of God. That's exactly right. That's the first fold of the revelation. The first fold is knowing that's what it is. But that doesn't mean that you understand what the thunders are.
Right.
You're just saying it's God speaking. And that it is God speaking. It's God revealing the mystery, those mysteries. But knowing when he come and what those seven thunders really are, that's another thing.
That's right.
That's only for the bride. That's only for the bride. Only the bride knows when he comes and what those thunders actually are.
Amen.
Anybody can say that the seventh seal is his coming. Anybody can say the seven thunders are the voice of God. That's true. It's all true. Do you see the difference?
Yes.
You see, it's It's two groups of people. It's two groups of people. It's two different ages altogether. Others can read it and they can speak the letter of it. They can. The symbols are all out there now. Anybody can go through there. Anybody who wants to know, understand the book of Revelations, the letter of it, it's there. You can easily read it. And because the veil has been taken, the seals have been revealed. But those seven thunders, those are the mysteries. And this is one thing that's always stuck for me. And I always, as much as I've struggled in Revelation, a lot of things I had a hard time understanding over the years, this is one thing that was always clear for me and easy to separate. The difference in the seals and the thunders. The seven thunders are the mysteries that are hidden from the foundation of the world. They had never been known. And so when people come and they tell you something that's always been known, then they call it a thunder. That's not thunder. Okay? That might have been God speaking in another age, but not these seven thunders that God's speaking right at the end time.
Amen.
These seven thunders are mysteries hidden from the foundation of the world.
Yes,
never been known.
Right.
And they are the mysteries that give the bride rapturing faith.
Yes, sir.
They're different. They're different than what was made known.
Amen.
But they tie together just like that.
Yes, sir.
They go together just like that. Because the simplicity of it is, you when you go through the message, it's just giving you the details and the final revelation of the whole message, of the whole unveiling of God.
Amen.
And it's in all of those messages after the seals. It just gets greater, and especially those great ones. You take invisible union, you take marriage and divorce, you take who is this Melchizedek, you take anointed ones at the end time, you take those messages, and he takes subjects that you knew all about. You knew all about. And then he starts correcting the mistakes. He starts placing every detail, every detail, every detail. Or he takes it and he just takes it deeper than it ever has been.
Amen.
He takes the veil off. He just makes it where you can see what it is. And so you can understand it. And the first time it really clicked for me many years ago was in marriage and divorce. Because in that message, he says so plainly and so clearly, he tells you the how and the why. He tells you why that the woman was not in the original creation. He tells you why the fall had to be. He breaks it down and gives you all the details. And that's what we were missing. That's what we were missing. We just like those disciples on the road to Emmaus, they seen it and they thought, how could this be? And we would read about the fall, and we read about these things, and we wonder, how could this be? Why? How could Satan get over on God, and everything just fall apart when God had this perfect paradise? Read marriage and divorce, and he explains perfectly why every bit of it happened. All of it. It was purposely done to fulfill God's attributes of what he wanted to be. He wanted to be a Savior. He wanted to be God. He wanted to be a king. He wanted to be a father, a husband, a wife. He wanted to be all of it.
Amen.
Everything that you see is him.
Yes, sir.
That's what he wanted to be. That's why he says, and we used to separate it so well, that the man is in the image of God. Okay? But when the revelation comes, in Christ, there is no male or female. There's no Jew and there's no Greek. God is using the whole body.
Yes.
God is using the whole body to reveal himself.
Amen.
He's not just using men to reveal himself. He's using men to preach. But he also said a woman's a preacher.
Yep.
That's to her children.
Yep.
That's her calling. That's her ministry. That's her place. Is to keep the word of God before her children.
Amen.
Teach them respect. Teach them the promise of God. So some say it's done, some say it's not. People talk about the seven seal and they say no, and they can argue about it, da 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 da. But There's some part about it they believe. There's some part about it they believe. They might not have the fullness of it, but just the fact that the seventh seal is coming. Just the fact that the four horse riders was the Antichrist. Just the fact of the fifth seal and the sixth seal was the tribune. They didn't know. Nobody knows, but you know. Now you know.
Amen.
They haven't known. They've guessed at it for 2,000 years. Praise be to God. So, now watch this simplicity there, right here, that shows forth and brings forth those things that's been hid since the foundation of the world, that it might be revealed in the last days to the sons of God. See? That's the part of the body that the bride is. That's the part that we are.
Amen.
That's the part. These things that are being revealed that had never been known, that's our part. That's what we are to manifest.
Amen.
We're not manifesting Noah's day, Moses' day. We're not manifesting Paul's day or Luther's day or Wesley's day, any of those in between. We're not manifesting that time when they had no revelation and at Nicaea Council and they changed the revelation to an idea of titles instead of a name. We're not back there. We're not under that.
Amen.
No, the veil has been lifted. The light has shined. The word has resurrected.
Yes.
No, we are to manifest the fullness of this revelation, the fullness of Jesus Christ today. See, not what was distorted back there in some other age, not the Dark Ages, not the Reformation, not the return of the gifts, not the return of the baptism of the Holy Ghost in the seventh church age. No. Now it's the token, the literal life of Jesus Christ living in the body. Praise God. We're the fullness of all of it. See, they brought that forth now before the people that they see it there, that they see it there. You now to this undenominational bride. Oh my, praise be to God. So, as he said, it's always twofold and it's always to two groups of people. It's always hidden to one and it's revealed to the other one. All right, we're going to the rapture message. Paragraph 152. Now, it's the first thing is the sounding. The first thing is a trumpet or a voice, a shout, then a voice, then a trumpet. See? A messenger getting the people ready. The second is a voice of the resurrection. The same voice. See? And a loud voice in St. John 11:38-44 that called Lazarus from the grave. See? Getting the bride together. And then the resurrection of the dead, see, to be caught up with it. Now watch the three things takes place. What is the next is what? Was a trumpet, a voice, a shout, a voice, a trumpet. See, watch those three. Right? Now, the third thing is a trumpet, which always at the feast of the trumpet is calling the people to the feast. See, and that'll be the bride's supper, the Lamb's supper in with the bride in the sky. See, that's right. So this feast is with the bride and the groom.
Amen.
That's right. And it's a spiritual feast.
Yes, sir.
And it's taking place. The first thing comes forth is his message, calling the bride together. The next thing is a resurrection of the sleeping bride. See, the one that died back in the other ages, they're caught up together. And the trumpet, see, the feast in the heavens, in the sky, why, that's the thing that takes place, friends. That's right. So all of that word, all down through the ages, all of that bride, all the way through, coming up with this word today, all of that word, all of this word now, all of it put together, all of it resurrected, all of it manifested, the bride is feasting on the body word of the Son of Man. This is the time that it's all made available. This is the maturity. This is the time of all of it together. We're right here, ready now. The only thing the church coming out has got to lay before the sun to ripen. See? What is it? The church coming out. That was the cry in the seventh age. That was one of the things revealed in the book of Revelation, was that message was a calling out, calling them to come out of the Catholic Church, calling them to come out of the harlot daughters, calling them to come out of all traditions and denominational ideas and man-made ideas. It was a calling out.
Amen.
And that calling out was going to bring them into position for Him to bring them into His presence. And Brother Branham has always said, he said redemption was in two parts. First was calling out, and the other was entering into.
Amen.
So you have to come out of that, and then you have to enter into Christ. You have to enter, and He's the Word. And this is Him. This is Him. The great combine will come by after a while. The wheat will be burned, the stalks, but the grain will be gathered into its garner. See? That's right. You're not blind people. You're sensible people. And if I stood here and said those things for prejudice, I say it because it's life. Because I'm responsible to God for saying it, and I must say it. And my message, see, all the time knowing, back there under the healing and so forth, like that, was just to catch the people's attention, knowing the message would come. He never forgot what the angel said, that you will pack a message.
Yes.
Those people around him, they started training their eyes on the gift. They started looking at the healing. They started looking at the people, the thousands, tens of thousands of people that were being healed. That gift that was sent in the early 1900s, that is the greatest gift that ever came on the earth, in any age, in any ministry, in any prophet, in anybody. That was the greatest. And it wasn't just, it started a revival, a healing revival that went around the world.
Amen.
And it went through the ministry of many, many other preachers. It started with our prophet.
Right.
It started because God was sending a gift on the earth.
Amen.
And that gift began to get the attention of the people because he was going to send the message.
Right.
And that message, people got sidetracked from it. They just got sidetracked from it and wasn't, they were so excited about the signs and the wonders till they forgot about the main thing.
Yes,
see, that was just to catch the people's attention, knowing the message would come. And I like how he said it, all along, I knew all along that this message was coming.
Amen.
I knew it was coming. And here it is. And them seven seals, those mysteries, showing those things is what's happened. See, I didn't know it. I didn't know what that revelation was. I didn't know what those mysteries were. I didn't know what they were. But I knew it was coming.
Yes.
I knew it was coming. He continued to manifest that attitude, because as he was preparing back there from Sirs, Is This the Time through up to the opening of the seals, then you watch how he began. He tried to preach the trumpets. He tried to preach these plagues. He tried to preach these different things. But God was doing it. God was guiding him. God was revealing it. And I can remember, and you probably can too, the first time you heard Brother Branham say that they were preparing to preach the trumpets.
Yeah.
They were preparing the building.
Mm-hmm.
They were preparing the announcements.
Yep.
They were preparing. And then to find out he did not have the revelation,
yep,
of it yet.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when the same thing for the seals. You see how God works? You know what the kind of pressure that is on a man? What that is on a man?
Yeah.
To know that He called the people together to preach the seven seals. And he's telling us each night that God just showed me this today. Just showed me this today. Matter of fact, he got so worried on the first one, on the first seal, he got so worried under pressure because he's looking at the clock. He's looking at the clock. Service is at 6, 7, and he said, here it is. It's noon. I don't have anything. And said he went back and got his notes from when he preached it years ago. And that horse rider was Christ. And he was going to bring it just like he had got it from the history and from the theologians. And he said, soon as he did, he said, God, the Holy Spirit came in the room and took over and just led him right through.
That's right.
And by faith, he was doing the same thing for the seven trumpets.
Amen.
And then God called, he said he couldn't figure out what was wrong. And so he went out in the woods and God revealed to him, said, you've already preached the seven trumpets.
Yes, sir.
Supernaturally.
Yep.
Wow. You imagine. I thought, he used the right word, supernatural. What God was doing all along was supernatural.
Yes, sir.
It was supernatural. It was happening all around those people.
Yes, sir.
And they didn't know what it was. They didn't know what it was.
Amen.
See, 157, but there's men standing right here now, was standing right with me, when you all heard me preach the sermon, sirs, what time is it? That morning, exactly where it said it would be, there stood seven angels standing right there from the heavens. And as they went up, and the whirlwind taking them up there, we standing watching as they went away. And science took the picture of it, see? All the way across the nations, down into Mexico, the scientists took the picture. That's right. So he didn't take the picture. They took the picture. So I just marvel. I marvel at how easily Satan deceives people. I marvel at it. It just shows predestination. That's the bottom line. Because that's why as many times as I've talked about Cain, God just told him the simplicity. He said, just do what your brother has done. And so these people, they know that it was the scientists, not Brother Branham, mm-hmm. not somebody in the church didn't take the photos.
That's right.
The scientists took the photos.
Right.
They took the photos. So where Brother Branham was standing or what day it was, that don't have anything to do with it. Look at the photo. Look in the photo. The older ones were much better. You could actually see those angels. You could actually see them coming down the hair, the beard. You could see them in there. And I've seen some really good ones, but these reproductions, they're not the quality for the detail. But it's the same with the children of Israel coming out. They walked through the Red Sea. They seen the plagues. They seen everything. They seen the greatest army in the world destroyed before their eyes.
That's right.
And now they're whining.
Yep.
And now they're whining and complaining. And even saying they would go back to Egypt just for the spices.
Yep.
Now, I like spices. I like some cayenne on my... I like some spices on my food. But you're going to go back to slavery? You're going to go back to that? Where are people's minds at?
Amen.
Right. You're walking in the supernatural. You're walking in the power of God.
Amen.
You're seeing God move. This is the God you wondered about. This is the God you were crying for when you were being beaten back there.
Yeah.
And saying, where is this great God of Israel? Where is this great God, the creator of heavens and earth? And then he comes on the scene. And he delivers you.
Amen.
Now, what that was in the natural there, put it right now in the spiritual today.
Yes,
and what he's done for you. You always wondered, what does this mean in the Bible? What does this mean in the Bible? What's this happening? What's this going to do? When is Israel going to come back to her homeland? And you watched it happen. In our lifetime, we watched Israel come back to the homeland.
That's right.
Huh?
That's the promise of God. That is the supernatural thing happening that fulfills the scripture. It did. Just as they were being scattered 2,000 years ago, God gathered them right back together by the same thing he did then.
Huh?
It was an army trying to kill them then. It was an army trying to kill them now. It was by persecution. And he brought them right back home, made them a nation, and every nation around them has since that time tried to destroy them, and God, by the hand of God, has protected them and kept them, and there's no way. There's no way that that little piece of a country could fight against 6 or 7 or 8 countries all around them, bigger than them, bigger armies than them, more everything than them, but God has done it. God has done it. God has fought for them and delivered them and helped them all the way through.
Amen.
And, you know, talking about compound and two sides of something, that's exactly why there's such a hatred for the Jew in America, is because Brother Branham said, I'm not talking about the Wall Street Jew. I think Brother Richard was talking about this the other day. He said, I'm not talking about the Wall Street Jew. He's a rascal. He's a rascal. He'll get your money. He'll cheat you. He'll steal. They're the ones who own the media. They're the ones who lie. They're the ones who have caused so much of this political unrest. They a lot of these Jews that are in the on the left doing some of these things, they've caused havoc in many countries. Many countries. But God is protecting that seed. He's protecting that genuine. And that's why, so if all the rest of the fodder gets protected while he's taking care of this, so be it. But God's going to keep his, because he's doing the same thing for the bride.
That's right. Yes,
sir. That's right. If this nation is protected because of the bride for a little while, so be it.
Yeah.
Their time's coming. The time's coming.
Yeah.
But God is going to take care of his bride, and God is going to take care of Israel.
Amen.
And God knows which one are his and which one aren't his.
That's right.
Not everything that is born an Israelite is God's. You read your Bible.
Amen.
Yeah, even Paul said that. Paul identified that. Not all Israel is Israel. No, it's the seed.
That's
it's
right.
The seed. And it's not the natural seed. It's the spiritual seed for them and for us. And so it's one. So there it is. Just quickly now, we're going to start eating church aid. Now, I'm sure that you have noticed that those whose names were in the Book of Life were part of the religious order of that day that centered around the true God and worship of Him. Though they did not worship according to truth, the Word, like Judas, they didn't go all the way. See how Judas was chosen of God? He was instructed in truth. He shared knowledge of the mysteries. He had a ministry of power granted unto him. And he healed the sick and he cast out devils in the name of Jesus. But when the showdown came, he sold out for gold and political power. He did not go up to Pentecost to receive the Spirit of God. He was devoid of the Spirit. See? And before I move down, he shared knowledge of those mysteries. He shared a knowledge of them. He had a part of them, but he didn't have all of it. He knew the letter of the Messiah coming. He knew the letter of what this man's doing. He's seen it. He was a part of the ministry. But he didn't have the full revelation of who he was. And that's what people don't have today. They don't have the full revelation of the message. That is God himself.
Amen.
That this, the word is God. See? But when the showdown come, he sold out for gold and political power. He did not go up to Pentecost to receive the Spirit of God. He was devoid of the Spirit. Make no mistake about it. A person that is truly baptized by the Holy Ghost into the body of Christ, receiving the fullness of the Spirit, will be in the Word all the way.
Amen.
That is the evidence of being baptized with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And Judas failed, and multitudes fail right there. And when they fail to go on in that word, their names are taken off of the book of life. That's right. Praise God. Now, I'm going to go just a little bit further, and this is in the Laodicean church age. And we're going to... Page 364, paragraph 3. We're closing now. So this is the last warning. There will not be another. The throne room has been set up. The 12 foundations have been laid. The streets of gold have been paved. The gates of gigantic pearls are raised and hinged. Like a pyramid, she stands so fair and glorious. The heavenly beings who have prepared her watch breathlessly, for she glistens and shines with a glory that is unearthly. Every facet of her beauty tells a story of amazing grace and Jesus' love. She's a city prepared for a prepared people. She awaits only for her inhabitants, and soon they will throng her streets with joy. Yes, it is the last call. The Spirit will not speak in another age. The ages are over.
Amen.
That's right. But thank God, at this moment, this age is not over. He's yet crying. And his cry is not only to in the spiritual ears of men by his Spirit, but once again, a prophet is in the land. And once more, God will reveal the truth as he did to Paul. Now, I want you to notice here, and I think most of you know this, watch the wording. Once more, God will reveal the truth as he did to Paul. People, for a long time, there was a time that people really used these quotes to say, Brother Branham could only say what Paul said. It's not what he's saying. He's saying, as Paul received the revelation, our prophet receives the revelation. As every prophet throughout the scripture has received the revelation straight from God.
Amen.
Not from another man. God don't raise up a prophet and go back and preach another age's message.
Yeah.
He said, if that happens, he said, you'll know that's not God.
That's right.
Because when God sends somebody, it's going to be something new.
Yeah.
It's going to be something new.
Amen.
Once more, God will reveal the truth as he did to Paul. In the days of the seventh messenger, in the days of the Laodicean age, its messenger revealed the mysteries of God as revealed to Paul. He will speak out. Now, did the seventh age messenger preach everything that Paul preached? He did. He brought everything that was lost, that was brought back. But then he picked up all the loose ends and all the things that wasn't known, and he continued right on with the revelation. So... he will speak out, and those who receive that prophet in his own name will receive the benefit effect of that prophet's ministry. And they will hear him, will be blessed, and become a part of that bride of the last day who are mentioned in Revelation 22:17. The Spirit and the bride say, come. The corn of wheat, the bride wheat, that fell into the ground at Nicaea has come back to original word grain again.
Amen.
Praise God forever.
Amen.
Yes, listen to the authenticated prophet of God who appears in this last age and what he says from God. The bride will say, the Spirit and the prophet and the bride will be saying the same thing.
Amen.
And what they will say will have already been said in the word.
Right.
They are saying it now. Come out from among her now and be you separate. The cry has gone out. The cry is going out. How long will the voice cry? We do not know. But one thing we do know, it won't be long, for this is the last age. That's right. All right, I'm stopping right there. God bless you so much. We appreciate you so much. I hope I didn't confuse you. I hope that was okay. But there's always been a lot of controversy between the seven seals and the seven thunders. And there is a difference. And the seals had to be revealed first. All of the Bible, Brother Branham said, all of the Bible was complete. He said it was every bit completely revealed.
That's right.
And then, after this is completed, and then comes those seven thunder mysteries that's not written in the Bible.
Yep.
But they're hidden in the Bible. Mm-hmm. Because they are a continuation. When you say something new, it's a new part. Mm-hmm. It's a new part. But it's not like something that has never been talked about. It's taking something that's there and continuing the revelation.
That's right.
Yeah. And Brother Branham talked about it in Colossians. And he when he was talking about the soul. And he said the people, Paul was talking to the people there. And he said, ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Mm-hmm. And he said, those people were living and breathing. They were sitting there listening to him preach. And we're talking about the Bible. Mm-hmm. And he's saying, ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Yeah. And Brother Branham said, the revelation it'll be spoken word, or it'll be a continuation. It'll be scripture or a continuation of the scripture. And he said, so when you're born again, he said, it's not your body that dies. It's not your spirit that dies. It was thought for a long time that it was the spirit. But the prophet revealed. After the seals were revealed, he revealed. He said, it's not your body that dies. It's not your spirit that dies. He said, it's the soul. And he said, the soul is the nature of the spirit. He said, so when you're born again, or when you're born, your natural birth, you're born with the nature of the world, you love the world. And when you're born again, that nature of the world, that soul of the world dies.
That's right.
And now you have the soul of God, the nature of God living in you.
Yeah.
And so it's not the spirit, it's not the flesh, it's the soul that dies. And so that's what Paul was talking about. Ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And there's so, I tell you, it'd do you good to go back and read the scripture, the New Testament, and the things that Paul said, because there's so many things that people think were so far out there today, just like on the rapture. When you talk about being raptured, it's because that the churches have built up this idea of what the rapture is. And they're the ones who say you're going to pop up in the cloud. You're going out here. You're going out there. That's not what the Bible says. The word rapture is not even in the Bible. But if you want to go back to what Paul said that you people, the same ones he just said are dead, you're dead. He said, ye have been translated into the kingdom of God.
Yep.
That's what Paul said.
Amen.
Do you think they didn't think he was crazy? Sure they did. The same as they think we're crazy today, because we're saying the same thing. You've been caught up into the presence of God. You've been caught up into the kingdom of God. That's the rapture.
Amen.
That's the revelation. That's the revelation, realizing that you and God are one. It's a union. It's becoming one with Him. And it's right there in the New Testament. But now it just came more real. He just added some more, just gave us a little more light, shined more light, quickened it, and we can see the reality of it.
Amen.
Praise be to God. Let us stand. Will you come? Amen. We thank God. I'll pray and then we'll ask Brother to come and sing us a song. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you and praise you. We thank you for the people and for each one, Lord. We ask you would bless every heart. And Lord, that you speak to every heart. And Lord, if any questions among us, or may they feel free to come and talk to us, Lord. Lord, may you just be with Brother Goomba. Lord, give him traveling mercies as he would travel tomorrow. Lord, as he continues to speak and minister to those people. Lord, we just ask your blessings upon him. Bless his family. Each one now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Praise be to God.
test. I know many of us can. I've been coming down the road from work, listening to the radio, and hear a preacher come on, and he is quoting identical for several sentences, several paragraphs, straight out of the seal book, straight out of the church age book. And it's just, and it's like the brother said, the only, and to know the letter, to the letter, and that's why the letter killeth, the spirit quickeneth. They know the letter, and it can make sense, and it can sound so good, and they hold on to that letter. But it's the revelation of what that letter is saying. That's right. That's the life. That's life. And so the letter's out there if you want it. Amen. If that's where you want to put your confidence, it's there. Amen. But that's where you stay, right there. And like he said, we want to be quickened. Let's sing that chorus. Lord, 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 you sure have been good to me. Comment he said there about redemption being twofold is to come out. You have to come in. You have to go into, because if you just come out, you're just an empty vessel. You're just sitting there, and you can be attacked. You can, there's no telling what could happen. But to come out, and God will bring you out. God's done a work, but He done a work for a reason. He didn't just do a work and just say, I'm just going to bring you halfway. He didn't bring Israel just halfway to the promised land. He brought them out of Egypt, destroyed Egypt, and took them to the promised land. Some chose to just come out. But there was two that chose to go in.
Amen.
Amen. You're dismissed. Lord bless you. Have a good week. Remember one another in my prayer.